Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Spiritual gifts we've been looking at on Sunday evenings. Romans chapter 12. And verse 6 introduces, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And we go to look on in the various spiritual gifts that we read. Missed out prophecy, that can be a debatable one of what that means. But in verse 7 it says ministry, and we've looked at that spiritual gift of serving one another. Maybe you have that spiritual gift. We've looked at the gift of teaching. Maybe you have the gift of teaching the Word of God. And last time, we looked at exhortation, the gift of getting alongside or calling someone alongside and encouraging people who are down. And then it says, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And it's the gift of giving that we're going to be looking at this evening. When I was a child, I think I had the gift of receiving. All right, I love receiving, not so much giving, but this is a spiritual gift, and that's what we're going to look at this evening. So let's come to the Lord in prayer first. Father, we thank you that we can come together, and Lord, as a local church, you want us all to serve one another in various ways, and you've even enabled us with special gifts to be that extra help to the body here. And I pray that each one of us will have a clear understanding of how you've gifted us, and that could give us a better indication of the various ways that you would like to use us here in this church. And I pray that you may illuminate and show those who you have gifted in this area of giving, that they may understand your gift and the ways by which they can use it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I confess that I do not like reading books. I know that's terrible for a pastor, but I despise reading. And when I do attempt to read, I fall asleep. And so there's no point even attempting it. So I just stick to reading my Bible generally and try not to fall asleep doing that. But there is one book that I actually started to read a while back, and I actually finished it, which is quite rare. And that was a book on the life of Mr. R. Latournay, a man that was used by God in a wonderful way in giving to others. And he is quoted as saying, when it comes to giving, it's not a question of how much of my money I give to God, but rather how much of God's money I keep. And he clearly understood that what he had, regardless if it's money, possessions in other sort, or even his own body, it was a gift from God. And it was owned by God because God was his master. And so it was a matter of how much of God's stuff do I keep and how much do I give away. And that's a very good understanding for us of where we should be considering when it comes to the possessions that we own, that it's really not us who owns them, but it's the Lord. Now, Mr. Latournay's solution to this was that he gave 90% of the profits of his business to the Lord. And if I have remembered correctly, of the 10% that he kept, he actually gave 90% of that away as well. So he certainly didn't keep very much. Now, admittedly, he made a lot of money. If we did that, we probably wouldn't have much left. But if someone, one of these mega billionaires did it, well, then they'd still have quite a lot left over. And this man certainly made a lot of money, but he certainly had a burden to use what he had for the Lord's work. Now, it is good to make sure that that isn't a requirement in God's word. God has never said that he wants us to give 90% of what we earn to him and only to keep 10%. But it does give us an insight to the mind of a person who has this gift to give. This is an insight or an understanding of the way that they think. Because we're told in God's word that there is a spiritual gift of giving. It's also good to remember that it isn't a spiritual gift to be rich, thus you give. All right? Some people think, well, they're rich, so they must have the gift of giving. Where you see someone who is poor, you think, well, they don't have much money, so obviously they don't have the gift of giving. It's got nothing to do with how much you have or how much you own. It has everything to do with the attitude and the heart that you have within. With every gift, as we have learnt, there are different gifts, but also there are different ways a gift can be used. And there is a different potency of that gift as well, where some are able to use it in large ways while others use their gift in a simple way. And that is the case when it comes to giving. Yes, if you have the gift of giving and you have a lot of wealth, you are going to be able to have a greater potency, so to speak, in giving a lot more, as opposed to someone who is in the darkest jungles and you just have a banana tree and that's all you live off, all right? There is a certain amount of bananas you might want to give. But, very different, but it's the same gift. It's also good to understand that although the gift of giving, there is that evidence of that outward evidence of something taking place, and it's obviously expressed in a material way, let's not underestimate that it is still a spiritual gift, just like the gift of teaching or exhortation or other gifts as well. This is a gift that is given by the Holy Spirit of God, and it one that where the Lord motivates a person to serve him in this way. And this gift is needed within our fellowship just as much as every other gift. And so if you have a spiritual gift in this area of giving, understand that it's just as important as any other one. And it's one that can bring a lot of blessing to others as well as to yourself. You know, in fact, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I can say that I've been on both sides of the ledger. I have given, and there is a lot of blessing in being able to give to others and see needs met. But I have also received. I've been on the receiving end of gifts as well. And although you're very thankful to receive, there is a degree of awkwardness and embarrassment. I would have to say I get far more joy out of giving to someone than I do receiving from someone. And so Jesus was right when he says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if you have this gift and you want to be able to be used the way that God wants to use you in this local church, well, then you need to be using this gift of giving. And don't underestimate it. And so let's have a little bit of a look at this gift of giving. As we read there in Romans chapter 12, it states it there in regards to he that exhorteth, let him work on exhortation, and he that giveth. Let's just look at the word giveth for a moment. The word give means to give a share of what you have. It's to share what you have. If we look over in Luke chapter 3, if you just flick over there for a moment. In Luke chapter 3, we see this word translated differently to giving. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 11, we read, he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart, same Greek word, or give to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Here we're saying, if you got two coats, you see someone that has none, well then, give what you have, impart to him. And when it comes to food, do the same sort of thing as well. So it has to do with imparting or sharing what you have. You know, generally when someone says, I have the gift of giving, we automatically think of money, don't we? They give money to other people. But it's really referring to anything within your possession where you are able to share with somebody else, to help someone in a certain circumstance where you share what you have with that person. And the reality is, often money isn't going to be of any use to the person. So we shouldn't just think it means money. I know Mr. Latourne, he gave a lot of money, but there would be some parts of the world where that wouldn't mean much. Like if you lived in, or you went on a missionary trip to the darkest parts of the jungle where they live off coconuts and bananas and, or whatever, and you see these people and they're doing it tough, so you proudly slip your hand in your pocket and you slip them a $100 note, all right? That's not going to do much for them, you know? They might think, wow, is that all the fire paper you gave me? Like, what do you do with this little bit of paper? It would mean very little to them. But if you were able to share your food with them, share your clothing with them, share your water with them, that would mean a lot to them at that stage. And so it doesn't really have to do with money. It has to have that concept of sharing with others, where you consider that what is yours can be used to help others. Now, a person with this gift will usually have certain characteristics about them. And I find this interesting. I try to do this with each gift so that it may not be the scripture itself, but you can see yourself described with these characteristics. This was put together by people a lot smarter than me and probably have interviewed a lot more people. But these are some of the things that often describe or is a character of someone with this gift of giving. Firstly, we see they say that it is generally someone who is a good steward with money. Someone who is a good steward with money. Not someone that just continually is spending money everywhere, but someone with the gift of money often see the value of money and possessions. And they see it that it is the Lord's money, so they're not going to waste their money. They want to use what they have in a way that will make the most or have the most benefit for the Lord's work. And so they are someone who is a good steward with their money. They are usually people who can see the needs of others that a lot of people don't see. They see needs and they realize that they can meet that need, where people might be passing by and they never see the need of that person over there that is struggling financially in some way, and no one sees it, but that person with the gift of giving, they just got that ability to see, hey, I think that person's really struggling. And so they want to impart what they have in order to help them. They just have that awareness. Also, they are someone who gives without having to be prompted to give. You know, if we got a missionary up here and they showed us all these pictures of these starving children that they're ministering to and give them the life story of how sad a life they have, all of us would be prompted generally to want to give to that. All right, I trust we all have enough emotions where we feel sorry for people like that. But someone with the gift of giving doesn't even need someone to prompt them. They have that genuine, that that awareness of looking out for people. They can give without any pressure. And they actually have a joy of giving as well. It's not like, okay, take it then if that's what's best. It's something that they thrive on. They love doing it. And it's generally, they are someone who gives quietly and anonymously. And so there are some things. Does that describe you? Are you a good steward with your money, that you see it as not something that, here I am, I've got all these things and I'm going to splurge it on anything I can to have a great life? But you realize the importance of what God's given you and you want to use it wisely. And you see the needs of others and you give without pressure. And also, you like to give it anonymously. Well, that might mean that you have that gift of giving. There's other things. There's some negative things that come with those with the gift of giving. You know, often when you have the gift of giving, you can appear to be more focused on temporal things. See, when you value what you have, and you value the gifts that God has given you in regards to material things, because you can see this is something that God's given. When you see people wasting it, you start to wonder why they're doing that. And you might even get cranky about it. You might be in the business meeting and you see that they want to give money to something that's ridiculous, and you think, why? And you want to know why. You know, why are we spending money on this? And other people might be thinking, they're just focused on money all the time. They're just worried about where the finances are. And so you get sort of a negative persona, but it's really, you're just concerned about God's money. And that's the reality. You also can often be accused of being what we would call a Scrooge, or what's a nice word to put it? Ungenerous. That might be a better word. I don't want to make any slips, but you can be known as someone that is a Scrooge. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Where no one thinks that you like to give, and that's often because you give secretly and no one sees it. All they do is hear you whinge about how money is being spent and why are we wasting money on that. And so everyone thinks you don't like spending any money on anything, but they don't see how you give in secret. You know, being the pastor here, I know people here in this church who have the gift of giving. And sometimes it's for some of them, it's because I'm the means by which they give to people, because they want it to be anonymous. And so they ask me to handle that. But I have come across people in other churches who have this gift of giving as well. And I can think of two men in particular. And if I was to talk to most people that knew them, they would say they are the tightest people that you could ever get. They are the biggest Scrooges with their money. There is one man, he owns a farm, not a one that makes a lot of money, Lynn, all right? He has a farm, and he would drive around in this beat-up old car. He has a son who works for him, has worked for him for years, and he doesn't give his son very much money at all, and he has to drive around this beat-up car that breaks down all the time. He's not too keen to share his money, you know, as what we see. And I used to have that attitude about him too. Till one day we're needing some money for a building, and lo and behold, we're opening the money for the offering, and there's $50,000 check from him just to help. You know, our jaws really dropped on the ground, you know, that he just gives $50,000 to the Lord's work. He didn't want anyone to know. No one knows in the church, as far as I'm aware, who gave it to him. I know he has given in other ways. There's another man in the church up in Coffs Harbour, and seriously, he will try and get the cheapest price for anything. I think if he went and got fish and chips, he'd try and get the fish and chip guy to knock off a dollar, you know. He is what you would call a Scrooge. He's always in the business meetings. Why are we spending money here? And so on. But I could literally think of at least $40,000 that he has given to that church or given to people just anonymously. He doesn't waste his money, but he certainly gives it when it's needed. And so you may be thought of as a bit of a Scrooge with your money, and that might be one of the things that you have to just cop when people don't realize that you do give a lot of your money in secret as the Lord leads. You know, George Mueller, most of us would know of him, started many orphanages. When he died, he had very little money to his name. But the book showed that he had given over £180,000 back in those days for the Lord's work. I don't know what that would relate to in today's, but that would be millions. £180,000. And in the book entry, he said, given by a servant of the Lord who seeks to lay up treasure in heaven. That's how he wrote it. And those who give in various ways and have this gift, see, this is your way of laying up treasure for yourself in heaven. And God wants to use you in that way. You know, in the book of Acts, if you'd like to turn there, we see a lady that I would suspect had a gift in this way. Was she wealthy? No. Did she give money to people? No. But how did God use her? Well, we read, if I can find the passage, in Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. So she would give to others. That's what alms deeds means. Giving to those in need. And we learn that she passed away, and they went to Peter. It says there in verse 39, and Peter arose and went with them. When he would come, they brought him unto the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. So how did this lady give to others? By making these garments, these coats and other garments, and giving them to others. That's how she was able to share what she had. That's how she could be a lady that was described as full of good works. Sewing, making these coats and garments for others in order to help. And so, I trust you get the idea when we use that word giveth, in the sense of a spiritual gift, what it's meaning. It doesn't mean you have to be rich to give. You can be poor and still have the gift, but you give in various ways. It doesn't mean just giving money. It may be giving of what you have to give. It could be sewing and making things for people. It could be various ways. But you have that concept, that zeal to see people in need and want to meet their physical need in some way or another. Now, if that's you, there is a warning there in Romans in regards to those who have this gift, because it says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And so if you have this gift, there is a warning, and that is, it is to be done with simplicity. Now, what does that mean? How do you give in simplicity? Well, the word probably in our King James Version isn't the most simple to understand, or the one that we would understand it to be today. The word really means to give in sincerity. It means to be single-minded in something, where you don't have two motives for it, all right? Where you might do something for one reason, and that's one of the reasons you're giving it, but you have a second reason for giving it as well. You have a double reason. No, the Lord says if you give, make sure you are single-minded. There is only one reason for giving. And that one reason should be out of obedience to God in order to help this person. That should be the only reason. It isn't to help that person and also get a little bit of praise for me. That's when you have two motives. Or it's not to give to this person and then be able to have a bit of control over that person. All right, that's not with simplicity as well. You know, there are some people who are quite wealthy, and people think they obviously must have the gift of giving because they give so much to the church. But no, often they have the gift of wanting to control people. I don't think it's a spiritual gift, but it's certainly a gift. And they give a lot of money in order to have control and a say in what goes on in the church. I'm thankful we don't have that here, but I tell you what, there are plenty of local churches that had that. And the wealthy man that sits in there and gives lots of money, everyone actually has to make sure they go along with him in the business meeting, because if he pulls out the funds, well then we're in big trouble. And they use that as a way of controlling a local church. That is the wrong motive. And that's not giving with simplicity. And that's a warning. I believe if someone gives, but they have a wrong motive towards it, that will bring judgment upon you. You know, Jesus tells us how to give. We're told over in Matthew chapter 6, I know it isn't always possible to give like this, but this should always be the first way to give. In Matthew chapter 6, in verses 1 to 4, we read this. Take heed that you do not your alms, all right, that's the giving to those in need of help, before men, in front of men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what the right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You know, we know the Pharisees, they would sound the trumpets and make sure everyone could see that they're putting these large amounts of money in the treasury. And Jesus said, that's not how you do it. They have their reward. They were doing it to get glory for themselves, and they got it. But there's no treasure in heaven. But anyone who gives, and especially someone with this gift of giving, should do it where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. You do it in secret. You don't put forward a nice big, donate a nice big grand piano here for everyone to love, and then make sure you got a big plaque on it donated by Mr. I want everyone to see how great I am on the front. All right? If you do feel prompted by the Spirit of God to donate a nice grand piano, do it in secret. All right? So no one knows. And then what that does is that can then you will know that you have actually done that for the glory of Christ rather than for your own glory. That's a good way. If you are happy to give anonymously, that shows that you're doing it with simplicity. That is, you only have one thought in mind, that that person's needs being met through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You know, I guess people don't go around saying, well, I have the gift of giving, all right? It's not one you sort of talk about, I guess. But if I was to say I have a gift of giving, don't hold that against me, all right? But that is something I do know that over the years the Lord has prompted me to do and use. That's very weird when you're a pastor to have that gift, because generally you're receiving, all right? But I have taken great pleasure in giving to people over the years, and as much as possibly I'll do it anonymously. I remember once, to encourage you of how the Lord will often work. Once I was in church, I was 19 at the time, I think, 20, and my tax was taking a long time to come back, which is very rare. You know, normally it comes back in a couple of weeks. It was months and months and months. And I didn't make very much money. I think I'll tell you how much I got with my tax. It came back at $560. That's it, the whole lot of tax, all right? So if you work out how much you make to get $560 taken out, that's not a lot of money, all right? But so I was doing it pretty tough being a bachelor and living by myself as it was, but I still loved to give whenever I could. And I was praying and asking the Lord why I hadn't received this tax money that I needed so much. Then I began to realize, well, Lord, are you wanting me to help someone with it? So I said, Lord, I promise that if I get this tax in the next couple of weeks, I'll give half of it away. And I said, but Lord, who do you want me to give it to? And so I was looking at back of the heads of people in the church, because I was a fair way down the back, and I'm looking at that person, no, Lord, that person. Do you want me to give it to that person? And there was a lady there that was a school teacher in the school there, which made even less money than me, and I know they did it very tight, very hard. And I said, Lord, if I get the tax money in the next 2 weeks, I'll give half to her. Tuesday morning, it arrived. And I must admit that at first I'm thinking, if only I'd held off praying that prayer for another week, you know, I could have had it all. I'm sorry, but I know that's how I felt, because I really wanted that money. I really needed it. Anyway, I got $560, and so I gave $280. I got the exact money, and I put it in an envelope, and I went up to, I had a man that I generally, he was the elder there, Mr. Jeffress, and he was my siphon whenever I wanted to give money to people. I said, look, would you be able to please give that to such and such? He goes, no worries. Anyway, gave it to her. She never knew who it was. And she was actually visiting my brother, who was the pastor then, and I was there at the same time, about two weeks later. And she was there at the meal table, and she goes, oh, I got such a blessing I want to share. And what is it? And she goes, do you know that I needed to pay my insurance, and I needed $279, and I've been praying that the Lord would answer my prayer. I just need $279. And then just a day or two before it was due, someone gave me $280. Can you believe that? He says, and I'm sitting there, wow, that's really exciting. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, I want to tell her it was me, you know. But that wasn't what it's all about. And to this day, I don't think she knows it was me. But all she knows is she prayed to the Lord for a specific amount that she had need of, and God supplied her need. And she gave praise to God for that. And that's all she really needs to know. And I didn't need to tell her, because the one who should have got the glory. And that's the Lord. And that's what it's meaning when it says, if you had the gift of giving, do it with simplicity. Having only one goal, that Christ gets the glory. And the best way to do that is to do it anonymously whenever possible. But the wonderful thing is, when you have this gift and you use this gift, You can show people a little bit of what Christ is like, because there's a beautiful verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you'd like to turn there. And I must admit, I am far more wealthier than what I was back when I was 18 and 19. But I must admit, back then I felt a little bit more like Christ in this way. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich." You know, particularly as a young man, I'd probably sometimes just make $60 a week, and then I saw someone that discovered someone had a need, and I'd give them $100 and clean out my bank account. And they never knew who it was, but I thought their need was greater. And you become poor so they could be rich. But that's just a little inkling to what our Saviour did for us. He was rich, and he became a man and became very poor, that we can be rich in him. And so if you have this gift, you have a wonderful gift. I encourage you to use it the right way, but use it in a manner where the Lord is glorified, and you can be a blessing to many people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that, Lord, you did become poor for us. And Lord, help us to realize how rich we truly are in you. We are so rich, dear Lord, in heavenly blessings and heavenly riches. And I pray that all of us, regardless of our spiritual gifts may be, that, Lord, we would lay up treasure in heaven by using them in a manner that glorifies you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.